Okay, we're going to start. We'll go to James Cole from Sky Sports News. Go ahead, James.
Hi, Chris. Good to see you.
Hi, mate.
It looks like it's all go for the Ashes. You've been named in the squad as well. I just wonder how you're feeling about that. I know you've got this World Cup to focus on before, but how are you feeling about the prospect of the Ashes and finally having some clarity about what lies ahead this winter?
Yeah, I mean, there's a small thing of a World Cup in front of it, isn't it? So we obviously have got eyes firmly on that. But yeah, obviously it's good news with regards to Australia and the Ashes tour. I don't think there's ever any too much doubt that where everyone's keen to go and play. But obviously there is things that is happening in the world right now, which people want, securities around what life's going to be like. Which I think is completely fair in current times, what we've lived through, what people have lived through the last 18 months or so. So yeah, it's exciting. Look, there's obviously a few things which are probably firmly out of our control at the minute. We're dealing with that on the ECB's behalf. But at the same time, it's exciting that there's an Ashes series around the corner.
And you have a young family. You were said to be one of the players with some reservations. Can you just explain what they were and how you became convinced to be committed?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, there is still things going on behind the scenes to try and get things, as clear as possible and clarity around exactly what life's going to be like once we're there. I think quarantine is a big thing that everyone's had to deal with over the last 18 months. We've all done a hell of a lot of it, and I suppose that side of things, the thought of having to do 14 days with families was going to be, quite a big thing, I think, for a lot of people. Yeah, I do have a young family. We're still not 100% sure between ourselves whether we're going to travel as a family yet. Still quite a few weeks probably before we make that decision. But at the same time, I think, it would be nice to be able to focus on the cricket at some point. I think we're all in that sort of boat at the minute. But, at the same time, it's a great opportunity to go out there and hopefully do something special. So look, there's things still going on behind the scenes and things are still kind of being discussed. So when we kind of get that back fully, I suppose we'll be able to fully commit. But at the same time, at the minute, we're in a good place and looking forward to the tour.
There's been some suggestion both here and in Australia that perhaps the players weren't committed. Hiding behind COVID protocols was the suggestion from Siri and Botham. That's not the case.
No, I mean, I don't think so. I think it's very different when people have had to live through this, and I think we all realize. The world is a different place to what it was 18 months ago before the pandemic happened. I think each individual has their own reasons. I don't think there's any hiding behind COVID one bit, to be brutally honest. I think if we were living in a normal world, this wouldn't be the case. People would be, chomping at the bit. And I think as a group of players and as England team, we still are. The opportunity to go to Australia and hopefully win an Ashes series is huge. It's still the pinnacle. Everyone knows that. But I don't think there's any excuses, any hiding behind anything. There's more to it than cricket, which is, unfortunate and an unfortunate position that the world's in. But I think, having lived through bubbles and quarantine, and having done a lot of that over the last 18 months, I think there is a little bit of sympathy there behind that.
And as you look ahead to this winter, the World Cup and then the Ashes, how are you feeling about the challenge that lies ahead and the sacrifices you're going to have to make?
No, I mean, I'm excited. Obviously, I toured there in 17, 18. It didn't go as well as we'd have liked as a team on that tour. Really hoping that we can do something special this time around. Of course, it's going to be difficult. Going down under is never an easy tour. They play, real, hard cricket there. And, I suppose tradition and history suggests we don't go there and win too often as an England side. So, of course, it's going to be hard. But, the opportunity to go there and do and compete and have a great opportunity to hopefully win an Ashes is something as a player doesn't come around too often. So, of course, we're excited about that prospect.
And finally, from me, in terms of the World Cup, it must have been nice to get a ball in your hands today, having quarantined. And you've got two warm-up games. You would have had two more, but obviously Pakistan was cancelled. Is that enough as a group before a World Cup, two games?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, a lot of the guys have been playing T20 cricket around the world and you know, more recently in the IPL as well, which is obviously really helpful for the guys that have been doing that. They will share a lot of thoughts and a lot of experience coming out of that tournament, which is great to have. You know, we're going to have a hell of a lot of practice between now and the first game against the West Indies, as you touched on, four games. I think we've got a lot. We'll obviously have some scenario practice and almost kind of games between ourselves and practice. So I think there's plenty there for us to get ready and get match hardened, I suppose. And, you know, T20 cricket is, I mean, it's not potluck by any means, but of course you need to have a little bit of rubber green as well.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, James. Let's go Rory and then John Etheridge. Go ahead, Rory.
Sorry. Thanks, Chris. I suppose it seems strange. It seems strange to me just looking now, and it might seem strange to you, that you're 10 years into your T20 international career and also 10 games. It's an unusual one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit of a strange one. I mean, in the current climate and the way, you know, the game's moved forward across three formats, there's no way I would have made my T20 debut back in 2011 if, you know, the game is as it was now. You know, back then I'd kind of performed as a red ball cricketer before anything else and was having the T20 debut. So, you know, the game's moved on, the game's changed. Obviously, there's a lot more players playing certain formats and kind of committing to that. But yeah, I obviously would have liked to have played a few more. But at the same time, I've said this previously, it's not having to concentrate on international T20 is too much. It's kind of, I think, helped my other formats, in particular my ODI game and obviously Test as well. So, you know, I would have snatched your hands off for the career I've had 10 years ago. So, you know, I can't be too disheartened by that.
What do you think your main quality is in the T20 format? You know, at this stage of your career, are you almost the old head who sort of maybe you can wear a few blows and not get distracted by it and keep your head and maybe not get distracted by the whirlwind that T20 can become? Is that how you see your role in this team?
Yeah, I suppose a little bit. You know, T20 cricket can, you know, particularly as a bowler, when you're bowling at the top and potentially at the death, like you say, it can be a bit of a whirlwind at times and you kind of do need to keep a cool head and kind of stay in the moment a little bit. And I think, you know, having experience that I've had kind of certainly helps that. So hopefully I can kind of draw on that experience and kind of use that to help me, you know, perform at this World Cup. You know, I believe there's not a huge difference between bowling with the new ball in T20 than there is to ODI cricket. You know, players do come a little bit harder, but it's a great opportunity to take wickets, which I believe is going to strengthen mine in the ODI format. So hopefully I can transform that across into this.
A slight off the ball one to finish for me. Amy Hunter, Irish cricketer, today has scored an ODI 100 on her 16th birthday. Making her the youngest centurion in international cricket history. I just wonder what you make of that achievement and what you think you were shaping up as a 16-year-old cricketer.
God, I mean, that's a hell of an achievement, isn't it? Congratulations to her. But, you know, as a 16-year-old, you know, playing international cricket, it's something which, you know, is an incredible achievement. To then actually be able to perform at that level is, you know, is almost unheard of. So, yeah, amazing contribution from her. But 16-year-old, I think I played probably my first second team game and felt completely out of my depth. So it kind of shows how good of an achievement that is.
Nice one. Thank you, Chris.
Okay, let's go to John then, Will McPherson.
Good morning. Yeah, I was going to ask you about your sort of slightly sporadic 2020 career with England. I mean, you came back into the team in summer, first time in 5 or 6 years. I mean, did you think that you were done as an international T20 player?
I certainly hadn't given up, John, but at the same time, I kind of thought that maybe, yeah, that ship potentially had sailed. You know, as I've just touched on previously, I think it has benefited the fact that I've then gone on to play, you know, over 100 ODIs and 39 test matches, I think it is. You know, I think it's certainly helped that side of my career. But yeah, I'd, you know, be lying to think that I probably didn't think I was going to get another go. I certainly hoped that I might potentially get another go. You know, whenever that was, I, you know, I wasn't kind of thinking of retiring from that format. But yeah, I certainly probably thought that, you know, that might have moved on from potentially going back to me. So obviously delighted to be sat here, potentially opportunity to have another go at a World Cup. Yeah, I'm really excited by that.
There was a time when you were entrusted, you know, bowling right up the gap, and then you bowled a final over to Dhoni at Edgbaston in a T20 match against India, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Yeah, it feels like quite a while ago. But yeah, that was, you know, I think I can't remember what year that was, but, you know, as it's been touched on, I've only played a handful of games, I suppose, in this format, but... You know, I've played a hell of a lot of T20 cricket, played quite a few for a few franchise teams, obviously played some IPL stuff as well. You know, that's high quality cricket against some, you know, high quality performers. So, you know, hopefully I can draw on that experience. As I touched on, I've, you know, played a lot of cricket around the world, and hopefully, you know, that having that calm head certainly helps as well. So fingers crossed that can benefit me.
So you flew out last Monday. Yeah. Have you been able to get out at all before today and train and do stuff or not?
No training. We've been in kind of hard quarantine to start with, which was then reduced to soft quarantine, but we haven't left the hotel until today to get out to train. So today was the first training session. We've done a bit of fitness within the hotel, but no, nothing other than that. So today was the first blowout, and obviously, getting used to the heat is, you know, it's pretty hot out here. So good to get a run out, and everyone was excited to do that.
Awesome, thanks.
Okay, Will and Nicole, please.
Hi, Chris. Just wanted you to reflect on your September, if that's all right. You obviously made the decision not to go out to the IPL, which would have provided some quite nice prep for this competition. But instead, you stayed at home and won some silverware. How was September?
Yeah, it was... it was a good September. I mean, it was a tough decision, actually, to not go to the IPL. It's something which I actually would have liked to have done. And that was something which I expressed to the franchise, to Delhi. You know, the IPL, I think, has been great for my career in terms of my development in white ball cricket. It would have been a great opportunity to go back there and kind of see out my contract with what I was a great franchise, actually. I really enjoyed my time back at the start of the year. So that's a bit of a shame, but I kind of made the decision based on the time away coming up. Obviously, this World Cup followed by, you know, what's going to be a long Ashes series. So, you know, that was the thinking behind that. But to obviously win the championship, which, again, was, I suppose, a little bit unexpected. I didn't really expect to play... probably as much as I did, obviously finishing the last two games. Originally, I was only going to play one of the two. So, you know, a great September, I suppose, with a few tricky decisions to be made.
And did you sort of, that second game, did you say, there's no way I'm not playing this? You've obviously missed a lot of cricket over last year, and you just weren't going to let that one go?
Yeah, I think so. And it wasn't a difficult conversation to have with... you know, with Spoons and the medical staff around whether I should play or not. Once I kind of suggested to them that I'd like to play, you know, they were more than happy for me to play. Obviously, I haven't played too much cricket, too much cricket as to what I probably would have done this year. And like you say, I think as soon as we'd won that game against Yorkshire, the previous game, and then with the opportunity potentially to win a championship, those chances don't come around too often. Just couldn't say no, really. And obviously delighted to have played and contributed, and another championship has come back to Warwickshire, so that's great.
Okay, we'll do Nick, and then we'll finish with people.
England made sort of no secret of the fact that they wanted to hit Australia with pace. Archer and obviously Stone are not fit, just Mark Wood. Will it be a case of looking at the blueprint for 10-11 and using that as the bowling dry method and trying to, as a route to take 20 wickets?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we, like you said, we do have Mark Wood, obviously, as kind of the bowler with express pace, and, you know, by no means do we have, you know, anything quicker than probably around 85 after that. But, you know, people have had success there by, like you say, by being pretty relentless, getting the ball in the right areas, trying to move the ball off the straight, and having good plans and making sure that you execute those plans. Then that's obviously going to be an important method for us, is trying to come up with a few things to get their good players or their best players out. And obviously to try and take 20 wickets to win test matches. So, yeah, I think we have to draw on those instances of teams that have been there and won, you know, not only the 10-11 side of England, but more recently India. I think it was South Africa before that. And just have to kind of look at ways in which teams have won in Australia and try and replicate that, I suppose.
Have you got a box of red kookaburras with you, or are you going to leave that treat for when you get to Australia?
I don't at the minute. I'm sure the management do. I don't have a personal collection. I think as a touch, I mean, we've got a T20 World Cup to kind of focus on and prep for at the minute. You know, as soon as that is done and dusted, obviously our attention will shift. So I'm sure the management have some, but I don't have my own stash.
Cheers.
Last question from Dean.
Yeah, Chris, sort of following on from what Nick said, I mean, just how different a bowler are the Australians going to see down under from you compared to 4 years ago? Obviously, it was quite a tough experience 4 years ago, but, you know, since then you've been England Player of the Year and have kind of developed as a cricketer. So what have you learned from that, and how much better do you think you can be this time around?
Yeah, I mean, it's another opportunity, isn't it, to try and go and produce some good performances in what's tough conditions. But, you know, I probably haven't played a huge amount of overseas cricket since then. But when I have, I feel like I have improved. I feel like I'm bowling a better length more consistently, and actually have been able to get that kookaburra pull to move a little bit than I have previously. Probably more so than I did when we were there in 17. So, yeah, look, I'm 3 or 4 years older, at least, or 4 years older.
Probably 4 years older, yeah.
You know, played more cricket, got a little bit more experience under my belt. And I believe I'm a better bowler now than I was then. You know, just purely from being a little bit older and having more experience, you know, at that level. You know, I've played a lot more frequently since then. Probably feel a little bit more at ease at that level. And yeah, look, you know, it's a tough place to go as a seam bowler. It doesn't necessarily seam around too much. As I said in the previous answer, you've got to kind of work on plans on the best way to take wickets on those surfaces. And I, in the I think 2, maybe 3 overseas periods I've played since, I've done reasonably well, or done better than I had done previously. So hopefully I can get more of that.
And just finally as well, how easy will it be to kind of compartmentalize? I mean, obviously there's still, the squad was just named yesterday, so, you know, hence the questions today, but as things move forward, there will still be things being ironed out, there'll still be stories coming, you know, from Australia. How easy will it be for you and the other multi-format players to just zero in on the T20 World Cup and kind of put the Ashes on the back burner?
I think we have no choice, really, Dean. I think it's, you know, we've got a big World Cup in front of us. If you only get to the end of the World Cup and think, oh, I wasn't, you know, fully engaged, I think we have to kind of give this our full attention. You know, what's going on with the Ashes is kind of on the back burner with, you know, people that are making decisions and kind of dealing with that for us on our behalf or on the ECB's behalf. So you can't kind of get too fixated on that. I think it's important that we kind of focus on the here and now. And, you know, a T20 World Cup is, you know, I was about to say they don't come around too often, but there's one next year as well. But they don't, do that. You know, World Cups generally don't come around too often. There's no guarantees that, you know, myself or anyone, I suppose, will be selected for the next one. So you have to make the most of the here and now. Great opportunity to lift some silverware for your country. And to be honest, I think this T20 World Cup can be pretty much won by anyone. So, you know, that's also exciting. I think it'll be a great tournament to be a part of. And as you say, the Ashes stuff is going to have to be parked, and you know, we've got to concentrate. You know, Australia are in the same boat. They've got some multi-format players. I'm sure they're having, to be honest, almost the same discussions, apart from them not travelling. You know, there's also things going to be behind the scenes for them. So, but, you know, we've just got to focus on here and there.
Great, thanks.
Okay, thanks everyone. Just to let you know, tomorrow Chris Jordan will be put up for the media at around a similar time. So yeah, thanks everyone, and we'll catch you tomorrow.